Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But I thought that the Savior himself was the light of the world. How can it be true of his disciples, since he is God from God and light from light?" He gives us the answer himself in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, the verse that we sang today as the Gospel acclamation. "I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life." As the moon reflects the light of the sun and magnifies it, all who are in Christ and are a new creation have the light of life, reflecting the light of him who is uncreated light. That is the only way we can be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. "Just so," the Savior says, "your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." Which good deeds does he mean? The prophet Isaiah tells us. "Share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked. And do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday." So those are the good deeds that cause others to glorify our Heavenly Father. Those are the good deeds that make us salt and light. But what is the source of the darkness and the gloom that must be dispelled? Look around you. After the fall from grace, the world is a darksome place, which was meant to be filled with the light of God's truth and love. Every form of cruelty, violence, oppression, injustice makes the world a darksome place. And the darkest of places is the grave, which we were not designed and made for. We are saved. We are redeemed from everlasting darkness, the everlasting darkness of death, by the one who is the light of the world. And then as a consequence of being made by grace through faith, a new creation in Christ, we must be both salt and light. But notice, Jesus warns us about the danger that we face. Those of us called to be salt and light because we are his disciples. The danger is this, that the salt can lose its savor and the light be hidden under a basket. Speak of the three moments of salvation as justification, sanctification, and glorification. Only together do these three moments reach their fulfillment when we see God in the face after the resurrection on the last day. Justification begins when we hear the gospel proclaimed and receive it with saving faith. By grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, we are made just. We are justified. That is what makes us both salt and light. But in order to continue and avoid the danger of the salt losing its savor and the light being hidden under a basket, we must continue. We must abide in Christ. This is the moment of sanctification, when our cooperation with God's grace gradually purges us of everything that is not of God, every form of selfishness and disordered self-love. What we must take care always to understand is that this work of sanctification is not from us. No less than justification, it is a work of grace. We could not do it apart from God's grace. And that is what St. Paul is at pains to explain to the Christians in Corinth. When I came to you, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's point is that our lives must be centered on Christ. As he will say elsewhere, it is now not I who live, but Christ in me. Christ at the center, Christ above, behind, beside. Christ always. That is what enables us to be salt and light. Not our goodness, not our knowledge or wisdom, not our strength. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, Paul says, meaning he understood how inadequate he was to fulfill the mission on which he was sent. My message and proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. And that's how mortal men and women, sinners all, can be salt and light, living by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the reasons Christianity spread like wildfire through the Roman world was that life was darksome. Violence, oppression, injustice were the daily bread of most people. And so when Christians came, loving as Christ loved, fulfilling the commandment to love others as he loved us, living the life of the new creation, it was perceived, the Christian faith that is, as salt and light. And so people beyond number were drawn spontaneously to this demonstration of the power of God in the Spirit. 2,000 years later, the situation is different. The Christian virtues, which the saints have always striven to live, are now institutionalized in many ways in the social welfare state. The mistake for Christians is to read these texts and assume that the Savior wants us to be social workers with crucifixes and rosaries. But that's not the point. The things that we do to bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord do serve the cause of human dignity in every way, so that those who see in us salt and light will see the one who is the light of the world and be redeemed from their sins and from the grave, and know the dignity of the children of God by grace through faith. Noble as they may be, the works of the social welfare state do not lead to saving faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, what we've seen in the last generation is that ultimately, cut off from Christ as their source, these good works can themselves be put to dark purposes. In the name of compassion, abortion and euthanasia now go hand in hand with the social welfare state throughout the developed world. The good deeds that glorify our Heavenly Father are done as Christ would have them done, only from faith, by faith, for faith. And that is why we must continue to live according to this teaching as salt and light. Yes, to lift up the dignity of those who are oppressed, to serve those in need, the least of Christ's brethren, so that they may see through us that Jesus of Nazareth is the light of the world, and by coming to faith in him, give glory to our Heavenly Father.